Welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast. I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
Man, Kyle, we had ourselves a pretty good week, I'd say.
Great week. Sports in general. Playoff basketball here. Draft just ended. Doing good so far, yes, sir.
I like it. Let's start off with the draft.
Okay, bet.
Who did you like so far?
Honestly, I really like the Eagles. Simply because the fact that they were just in the Super Bowl and then they trade in to the top 10 picks. You know what I'm trying to say.
They get a top 10 pick.
You trade your picks basically, and then you get into top. You get nine, and then you also get George's Jalen Carter.
Right.
That's a dog right there.
Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, both of them. I remember hearing those names called a lot watching those Georgia games. On those Saturday afternoons, I used to hear those names a lot.
Guys that could get
expect to
the
hear them a lot Sundays. Yeah. And Jalen Carter is crazy because Jalen Carter is he's pretty much a nose tackle, so he won't even really get to the quarterback. He's pretty much just gonna stuff the run.
It's what they need, though.
Yeah,
that's what they need.
They needed that a lot, especially after what we've seen in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Not the Super Bowl, but especially after what we've seen in the big game or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that was a big need. They got a few big needs. They traded for DeAndre Swift, which is pretty big. Who also went to Georgia. So they're pretty much just recreating Georgia.
That whole Georgia team in Philly. Yeah, that's scary. That's scary, man.
That's a tough team over there. Another team I liked actually was the Seahawks. I like the Seahawks a lot.
Getting Jackson Smith and Gibba,
big. Now you pair them up with DK Metcalf and you pair them up with Tyler Lockett.
Yes.
Yeah, that's tough.
Nah, all right. Also, another team that won the draft, in my opinion, was the Ravens. Purely off of the moves that they made before the draft.
Right.
In signing Odell, in signing Lamar, and then going out and getting another wide receiver in Zay Flowers.
Right, yeah, and Zay Flowers is really good.
Yes.
Really good.
They're showing Lamar that they're going to get him the help now.
Yeah.
We were lamenting Baltimore for at least a couple years now.
Pretty much Baltimore was becoming who Green Bay was.
Mm-hmm.
They were starting
to be like that.
You had the perfect slots to do what you needed to do, to get who you needed to get, and then after that, you just fall to the wayside.
Yep, and then last one for me, I really like the Giants drafting one of the best cornerbacks in Deontay Banks. That was big, helped that defense out a lot. They had two other picks, too, that I'm just blanking out on right now.
They had John Mitchell Schmitz, the center from, I believe, Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken, and Jalen Hyatt, who was actually my favorite pick from the Giants, actually.
Yes.
I love Jalen Hyatt. He's the one who had the 5 touchdowns with Hendon Hooker, who helped beat Tennessee and against Alabama. Speed, wide receiver, who's going to go great on the opposite side of Sterling Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so getting Daniel Jones the help that he needs in the receiver spot. Someone who would come and be a number one receiver right off the bat, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's good for them. I like the Giants a lot. I like the Eagles, the Seahawks. Steelers did their thing. They got Joey Porter Jr. His dad played for the Steelers, want to help them win the Super Bowl. And Joey Porter's also one of the best cornerbacks, one of the best pretty much staying with his defender, batting balls away, getting interceptions here and there.
Uh-huh.
So I like that. I like that pick a lot. And also, we needed a big tackle, so we got his name is Broderick Jones, offensive tackle. So I like that pick, too. And,
Very good pick. Texans. You can't forget about the Texans. How they got two picks back-to-back
like that.
And we were all lamenting them and, you know what I'm saying, like, you
we
know,
were sitting there
hounding them, like, why are you about to drive a defensive? Well, they got both.
They got
both of what they needed. Yeah. They got a good defensive player, and they got their cornerback. And they got the quarterback.
Right.
In C.J. Stroud. That move that they did truly was shocking.
That was very smart.
Very smart, very shocking, and they played it. They played it well.
Yeah.
They played it absolutely well.
They pretty much, I believe, feels like to me, they pretty much took a page out of the Detroit Lions playbook from last year.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much just, you got to be aggressive now. You can't wait for it. You can't, everybody used to, do the, oh, yeah, we'll just wait for next year, you know, next year's draft. Because, you know, next year's draft is going to have, like, Caleb Williams coming out of USC, who's going to be a great quarterback, who, if he was eligible to come in this draft, apparently he would have been number one. He would have been, like, a number one quarterback, or even, you know, waiting for a wide receiver, Maurice Harrison Jr. or whatever. That's the thing. Like, you can't wait anymore.
Can't.
There's no such thing as waiting anymore. If you want to win, you got to win right now. There's no time like the present.
No time like the present. You're absolutely right about that. No disagreement for me.
So, that's just how I feel. That's just my thing on, you know, making sure that you go get what you need to go get. Because if you don't, you're going to sit back, relax, and then somebody else is going to take what you want. So, but let's get down to the nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty.
Because now we're in May. It gets a little more intense now.
A lot more intense. A lot more intense. Things are heating up.
The NBA playoffs right now is
hot. Hot. Sizzling. Cooking. All of it.
You couldn't have told me that some of this stuff was going to happen. I didn't. Okay. I did see the Kings and the Warriors going to seven, but not in that fashion.
Not in that fashion. Not ending the way it did.
No. No. Not at all. Not by the way that how it was close the whole series, not by how Golden State has played on the road most of the year.
That was for them to win Game 7 in Sacramento.
The way that they did by 20.
Steph dropping 50 in a Game 7, 50, doing whatever he wanted, scoring at all three levels. When was the last time we really seen Steph be like, give me the ball. And I'm gonna go put y'all to work.
He did that last year against the Celtics.
I understand that, Cam. I understand that. But
he did that two games. He did that game four and game six.
That is not my point right now. That's not my point. All season, we have been getting on them about not playing well on the road. They were 11-30 something on the road. Yeah. 7-30 something. Yeah. If you're not including the playoffs.
Right.
In the regular season. And then you mean to tell me Steph comes in Game 7 on the road after not playing great all year on the road, and he drops 50 in that electric building? Nah, I'm taking that performance over the Celtics performance that he had all day, any day of the week.
I can see that.
But I think it meant more.
I think, I don't know, because the magnitude of what he did last year in Game 6, because it was him finally winning Finals MVP, which he should have got back in 2015. It was also pretty much telling everybody, hey, I could do this without KD just like we did before, in case y'all forgot for some unknown reason. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say that it meant more, but I could say that you could put it in the same tier as performance-wise, I'd say.
Okay.
The only reason why I give the finals the finals because it's the finals and he won a ring.
Yes. He won a ring without KD by himself. That's bigger. I understand that. I'm just saying it's just the magnitude.
The magnitude, of a game seven.
Yes.
A game seven, no matter what. First round or in the finals. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, no, I understand. But he pretty much showed that whole Kings team that there's levels to this. And that's what I was trying to get people to understand. There's another gear that champions have.
There's another gear that LeBron hits. There's another gear that Steph hit. Even Jimmy Butler,
KD,
Giannis, all of them.
All exactly.
Yes.
They all know that there's another gear to it, and that's the reason why I couldn't pick the Kings, because they've never seen or felt that gear.
They didn't feel it yet.
It's one thing, you know, to do it in Game 1, Game 2, Game 3, 4, but when we really want to get to it, when we really sit here and it's like, all right, we'll see who's really about to go home. We'll see who really is going to take the cake.
Yep.
You know, and that's the thing that separates the good from the great.
Absolutely right. And even, oh, my God, let's just talk about the Knicks. And actually, Knicks are actually looking good. I don't care what nobody says.
They're not. It's not bad. But it's not where you want it to be.
It's not where you want it to be, but they can improve and get better on it.
Oh, yeah, big time.
They can.
Big time. Because the way that they won game two was anticlimactic for me because I expected more. More so with the fact that I expected more dominance without Jimmy being there.
I understand. Miami shouldn't have hung around that close.
Yeah, no, that was my thing. Like, every time I kept checking the score, I'm like, don't do this to me.
Yeah.
Don't do this to me. Don't fold on me now.
Then it was the play of Josh Hart.
Yeah.
That Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson won them that game.
Yeah.
Even R.J. Barrett, too.
Yeah,
R.J. Barrett was balling.
He came in.
R.J. Barrett was balling.
24 points? Yeah, no. And Jalen Brunson had 30. That was the first 30 piece in the Garden since Melo, I think back in, what, 2012, 2013, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, which is huge. Josh Hart almost messed around and got a triple-double. He had 14 points, 11 boards, and 9 assists.
Uh-huh.
Like, what? And then Randall came back pretty good, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists.
Randall did come back pretty good. I just think that watching the way he was playing, though, you can't do that when Jimmy comes back.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he had the 25, and they won. But his play was just, to me, was just a little erratic still. It's always been like that. But,
yeah.
But my thing is you can't do that when Jimmy comes back.
Right.
You messed around and you did get lucky. They did get lucky. A win is still a win.
In the playoffs? Yeah.
A win is a win.
Oh,
yeah. Tie 1-1.
Yeah.
But you can't. Better play. Take care of the ball better. They'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I truly, truly. And you stop. And you stop Miami from shooting so much because they were like, what? All of a sudden, they just
hitting everything.
They raining threes from the parking lot, bro. All of a sudden.
Yeah, no, they had to put a cap on that immediately.
Yes, I think, which I think Tibbs will do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Make adjustments. It's all about adjustments.
Tibbs being the defensive wizard that he is, he's for sure going to make sure that they don't go too far with that.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. The Suns.
Should we get the brooms out now, or should we wait?
Oh my goodness!
Because I feel like
this here.
I feel like I should bring out the broom and start sweeping, Cam.
This here. This is just. All right. Look, first of all, I didn't believe the Suns were even gonna make it past this round. Let's get that straight.
Mm-hmm.
But now with CP3 being out,
that's right on cue. Right on cue, as always.
As always.
As always, my man's can't stay healthy in the postseason.
Per usual. You know, even with CP3 in or out,
it really wasn't like it might make much of a difference,
right? Because you just seen in game one, who started going off? Jamal Murray started going off.
Jamal Murray,
the whole team was just working, and they were working like a unit. Like it looked, they were putting on a clinic.
They have a better systematic offense and a better systematic team.
Yeah,
deeper, they can do more. You can't win relying on 6 guys. You can't.
Basically, and then at this point, you're basically only relying on 2.
Ayton
is just getting, Ayton is getting worked right now. Like, there's nothing.
Bullied.
You can't even save
getting
him.
Getting bullied.
He can't get saved. He can't, no one can save him. Like, literally not a soul on this earth can really save him. Like, that's how sad this thing is for him.
Jokic is bullying him. That's a problem.
Yo, he's doing the same thing Shaq used to do. He's throwing the ball up. Getting a rebound, throwing it back up, tipping it, getting a rebound again, tipping it again, and then after that, making a layup. He gets at least 3 to 4 rebounds per possession at that point.
What happened to boxing out? What happened to pushing the dude out and securing that board? Because that's not what's happening. He's just tipping
and
all
then,
up in the air.
And then now KD and D-Book can't even go in and crash the boards anymore like that because... They got to get out on the break.
They got to be out on the break, and they got to close out on the shooters, too.
Yeah.
KCP, Michael Porter Jr.
Jamal Murray.
Exactly.
Even Aaron Gordon will shoot it from time to time.
Exactly.
Everybody know Jokic. If Jokic sees some daylight, he's putting that thing up.
Exactly.
Nah, this, and also, you know, the Suns not having a deep roster now. That, you know, you only got one person look at that. That's KD.
It's all KD.
That's
you
his
gutted,
fault.
You gutted your team for him, and look where he's getting you.
He keeps doing that. It's funny how the dynamics between Bron and KD are. KD's sitting here without a bench, pretty much, you know, with the Nets, now here. Bron. trying to get him all the help that he can get.
But like at least he got dudes that he can trust around him.
Oh, yeah.
In the AR-15, Austin Reeves, in D'Angelo Russell handle the ball.
Rui Hachimura.
Exactly. Rui coming off the bench. Exactly. Like, the Lakers did a great job of building that team around LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Right.
I don't know if the Suns can do that.
No, they can't. Especially with the new CBA agreement.
Yes.
Pretty much preventing super teams at this point. So like that's like a, you know, like a ... Like
it
that's
really
a
is.
To be continued for that for their team to see how they're gonna move forward.
Even after this.
Yeah.
Even after this. Because
you still have KD for, what, 3 more years?
At least, yes.
I don't understand. Like,
you're going to be stuck in the same position. You're going to have to rely on two dudes in the next 3 years if he chooses to stay that long. And you're going to have no bench, no others, as my man KP would say. Kendrick Perkins. There's no others. The others aren't coming to play.
It's not even that they're coming to play. They're just not good enough in the playoffs. Like, if we really want to be honest.
I know they're missing Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges right now.
Oh, my goodness. I was just telling my pops, I was like, if I was the Suns, I don't know if I would have really made that trade because you see how the West is now. Everybody, so the whole year, everybody's pretty much been beating each other up, basically.
Yeah.
Trying to fight for a spot. The only two teams really that weren't really hounding anybody was the Grizzlies and the Nuggets.
Grizzlies, Nuggets, and Sacramento.
And Sacramento.
Yes. I think the Grizzlies were a little, I think you replaced Grizzly with Sacramento in that. I think there was just two teams. It was really just Sacramento and Denver.
I mean, the Grizzlies were number two.
Yes.
So they started coasting.
They started coasting toward the end of the season. Yeah. Yes.
But everybody else was in a dogfight, basically. Why would I trade two of my best young assets that probably could have ran with D-Book for longer and Aiden for longer?
And Mikal Bridges was only getting better, too.
Exactly.
He was only getting better.
And he clearly showed who he really is. When he got to Brooklyn, him and Cam both.
Yes.
Because they were both getting really better. They were both getting better. So why would I trade my bench? Why would I trade, you know, my two youngest stars for one star and then leave myself exposed in the playoffs? They would have had
you knew what was coming.
Exactly. They would have had a way better shot when they had the team before.
Hindsight is 20/20, right, though? Because it's not like you can...
But yeah, it's not.
If you have a chance to go out in KD, any team is gonna go.
Oh yeah,
do
you're gonna go get him.
Any team is gonna go do that.
But you also have to think of what's the cost.
Thank you for putting it that way. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
I have to die on this sword.
Is Kevin Durant ready to die on this sword
too?
Is he ready to put in 50+ minutes to make sure you secure a win?
Because remember the one time that he did, he was exhausted.
Exactly. My point, it's not sustainable. It's not. Not with now just Devin Booker and KD.
Right.
DeAndre ain't doing nothing.
He can't do anything.
So
he's getting dogged.
Where you at? I don't know. I'll have the broom for next show just in case.
I don't even know what to say. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I have nothing to say at this point.
Oh man, like they'll be lucky to get one, but it's got to come in Game 3.
Yeah.
In order to really feel like you have a chance,
right?
Because if you let them come in and win Game 3, Game 4 is all about desperation.
For those who don't know, CP3, Chris Paul, he's out with groin tightness. He won't be reevaluated until next week. So that's at least 3 games.
Series could be over.
Exactly. That's my thing. Will we even make it?
Series could be over in the next 2. It's really up to Devin Booker to put this team on his back.
You're asking for 40 for the next 3 You're asking for 40 you're for asking the next four games.
You're asking for 40 from both Kevin Durant and Devin Booker for the next 4 out of 5 games. That's not sustainable.
Are they conditioned?
I don't care how great you are.
Are they conditioned like that? No, they're not.
Until I see otherwise, it's not sustainable.
The only two I've seen done it was Kyrie and Bron.
That's because Bron had him locked in. It's a different story. Can't compare apples and oranges.
Oh, you can't. I know you can't. Clearly.
Clearly not. No, absolutely. Oh, man. I really didn't expect to see this go like this.
No, not.
I really, really didn't.
No.
I thought KD and Devin Booker would at least have more to say about it. But they just can't.
KD's been off. Like, he has no rhythm.
Off.
I've never seen him like this before.
Off.
I used to think KD doesn't miss. I used to think KD only misses because, not because of you, but simply because his shot is off. Now, I'm like, yo, like, the
Something's changed.
Yeah.
Something's up.
Injuries catching up? Could be. Is it because Denver has a multitude of
weapons.
Defenders and weapons, possibly.
Different types of bodies that they could throw at Kevin Durant. You got a big guy in Yoke who could just...
And they attack him.
Just move him.
And they attack him on defense, too.
As they should. And it's not like KD's a bum of a defender either.
No.
They're still attacking him.
Yeah, he's skinny.
They see something.
Yeah, he's skinny. That's what it is.
That's all it is, yes.
He don't got no weight on him like that.
You could push him around.
Exactly.
He's like a feather. You could blow the wind and he'd move.
You don't see most dudes go at Bron unless they know they have a size advantage on him or something like that. Like Jaren Jackson Jr. in the last series, the only reason why they went at him because he knew he could work him on the block. Mm-hmm. Bron is not a good defender on the block.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see dudes just sit here and attack Bron, though. But, hey. One more series, actually, the Celtics and Sixers. So, first game, James Harden goes crazy.
45.
Look like Vince's James. Look like the James that we all
James
see
Harden
in Houston.
Old, exactly. And then game two comes.
Joel Embiid
has 12 points.
Joel Embiid comes back. And he only has like 15 points with 5 blocks. But the Celtics locked in.
They knew. They knew they had to get this game.
They had no choice.
They knew they had to get this game.
Jaylen Brown finally came back alive, 25 points. No, Tatum only had 7, though.
And they still won. They didn't win when Tatum and Brown combined for 60-plus
in
game one.
That was weird.
But then now you win when Tatum only got 7 points?
That's crazy. Brogdon came off the bench. He was 6 for 10 from 3 with 23 points.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
In the third quarter, they were raining threes on
them.
That's what it was.
I was watching the highlights. I was like, it's not even he's raining threes. Like, no. Like, that was legit rain.
Actual rain.
Like, they didn't miss.
That's what the Celtics can do.
Yeah. They show who they are. They always show who they are, but the thing that frustrates me the most about them is the fact that they play around too much.
They play around. They're not as consistent as they really could and should be.
Like they were last season.
Exactly.
Mainly.
Exactly.
Like that's the biggest frustrating part of a good team like that, that could be great. The thing that's holding them back from being great is the fact that they're not always paying attention. They're not always attentive.
And the thing is Jason Tatum is not going to have 7 points again in the series.
No.
He's going to have more, and they still won.
Yeah.
So what does that say? What does that tell you?
It says that they could do what they want to do when they feel like actually doing it.
Shout out Joel Embiid for getting his MVP, though.
Yes, he deserved
it. Much, much deserved.
Deserved that one. Deserved
much, much
that
deserved.
One. One question. Did he look crazy to you last night? Because he looked fine to me.
I think he looked fine. Just a little rusty.
A little rusty, right?
Rusty, but I think he'll be fine. He'll be ready to go next game.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially he'll be at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah, be back home.
They're going to give him his MVP trophy. He'll be hyped up. It'll definitely be a chip on his shoulder a little bit.
And it's gonna be loud in there too.
It's gonna be crazy.
Philly's gonna be rowdy. Yeah, it's gonna be rowdy. It's gonna be rowdy. And I can't wait for it.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh man.
New York, stand up.
I don't think we've had a segment like that in a while, like where we just talk. We talked basketball for like almost like 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. I like that one. Yeah, thank you guys for listening to us. Thank you for all the amazing feedback that we always get from you guys. You guys are the best. Love doing this with my boy.
Always and forever, bro. You know.
More things to come. But till then, we will talk to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Later.
Peace.